Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. This time of the day, you know how we hold it here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station, and well, your drive time show. That's a home run from 4, that is until 7. That's for Monday. We have, was it Tuesday? We have Tuesday is just a home run as usual, 7 until 4 until 7, and Wednesday is comes in at least for the last hour, that is China Corner, and China Corner occupies that hour, and that's Thursday. Thursday is just like Tuesday, and that is you have the usual home run that's running from 4 to 7, and Friday, at least according to what my cybersecurity experts that I had in the studio, that's Mikaela and Helena from Uitani Child Line Radio Program, really mixing things up now. But anyway, so we still have those ones come this coming Friday. But that's not what we're here to to discuss. It's just yours truly here welcoming you to Home Run and informing you that you don't have to worry wherever you find yourself. Thank you very much for tuning in. You just find a comfortable chair or whatever it is that you are doing. I hope it's something legal. Really, really hoping it's something legal. And if you are driving, please drive safe this time of the year. Or let me just say, drive safe all the time. It's just that my emphasis on this time of the year is that the closer we get to December, the more activities, take place, especially in terms of, that requires people to move from one place to another, and you have a lot of traffic in the roads, and the higher the traffic, and unfortunately, from what we've seen so far, also the number of car accidents also goes through the roof. So watch the road, don't drink and drive, and another life. Thank you very much. We want you to keep listening. So today's discussion is going to be based on a whole different type of safety. Think of it this way. Take you live in someone's house and you get in a fight with the owner of that house. Whether you're at fault or the owner of the house is at fault, more often when fights gets ugly, even if your landlord or the owner of the house, your uncle, your auntie, or your brother, or your sister, if the owner of the house feel like, they are losing the battle, they can quickly pull off the card of get out of my house. Now, that very simple example is one that I want us to have at the back of our minds as we talk about how AI, according to Interpol, is being used in the world of cybercrime. Now, although those two examples are just slightly different, who am I kidding? They are wildly different. The reason why I brought up that example is I'm really looking forward to the time when Africa has digital sovereignty. And when I say digital sovereignty, I don't mean having, everyone having their smartphone or their data center or their smart computer. Everyone's a data center. We don't have enough energy or water for that. We have quickly learned that, at the beginning of the technology. Now, here's one thing that is worth pointing out. It is that in the very same way that everyone is excited, at least a lot of people are excited to use AI because of the ease that comes with a way of, whether you're doing your schoolwork or just work related, as long as you just double check, because, you're going to end up in a situation that, Deloitte, I think that was Australia, found themselves in a situation, where they had to refund the Australian government for you know, for you know, at least a portion of the amount that was given, you know, that they were given when they were given a contract to you know, to compile information on a particular subject. So a lot of them basically just went straight to AI. And the thing is, well, AI will help you do the job quickly. But the thing is, the problem that they faced was that a lot of academic experts now begin to, you know, began to read the document that was being provided by Deloitte to this to the Australian government, and found out that some of the sources being referenced by in this document actually doesn't exist. And the AI has that tendency, which is why, well, I usually don't tell people that stop using AI, because I know they're not going to stop. And I know I use it all the time. It's just that learn to verify your sources. Otherwise, you're just going to get into trouble, whether it's academic-wise. You know, it would be weird for you to show up to your, you know, to show up to your, to show up to, you know, to classes, or to submit an assignment that has books as a reference, and this books does not exist. I mean, your lecturer will be like, all right, who wrote this book again? Because I looked all over the internet. I couldn't find that book, let alone the author. So verify your work. Now, when you look at using AI and the speed with which it gets things done, and if you realize that for you to ensure that the information you have is authentic, especially in terms of reference, you have to double check it line by line. Then, you know, just a couple of paragraphs through, because I'm talking from experience here. There's something that I was writing, I think, sometime last year. So I just went straight to AI and then fed in the prompt and then generated the whole thing. And I was like, okay, now, how sure am I that every single source in this document can be verified? Two documents through. Let me just say, not two documents, three paragraphs down. And I was coming across a bunch of imaginary sources. Yeah. Flu has me on a chokehold. Now, two paragraphs in the document, I realized that a bunch of this information is just something that was thumbsucking, assuming this, well, there is no thumbsucking because everything is basically digital. Then I basically had to toss aside the entire document that I generated with AI, because I know that if I have to go through a 5-page document line by line to verify if it's, you know, to verify if the information, you know, if the sources being referenced are really true. You have to understand that if I find, you know, a book that was written by, take for example, Job Banda in this document, that's referenced by the document that I generated with AI, then I have to take the, my approach to that is, I'll take the author and the title of this book, and then open my web browser, open any browser that I have on my computer, and try to look up if this book was really exist and if it was really written by Job. And in those just the two paragraphs of my document, I realized that three of the documents that were referenced in just the beginning, the first two paragraphs, it's okay. The documents exist, the sources exist. Except the information that was contained in the document that I generated are not contained in the sources that were referenced, even though the sources themselves exist. So I thought about it that, okay, if I have to go through line by line to verify this, I may as well just do the document myself. So I ended up basically tossing aside the entire document and then just opening up a browser and then just finding the sources online that I can verify myself, knowing that, okay, you know what, I got this information from this particular source. Now, the technology, if you ask me, especially in terms of doing something, complicated work, is still under, is still under development. In the world of coding, there's something that they are now calling, you know, vibe coding, where you can just feed in a prompt in any of the large language models to generate for you a code for every, you know, piece of software you want to build, or is it a website. Anything can be generated. But the biggest question is when something goes wrong, if it crashes, for example, if you didn't go through it, then when the company that hired you to build that website that you AI generated, and they tested it the first 5 minutes, maybe the first 2 weeks, and it works. When it crashes, you know, guess what they're going to call? You, please come in, the thing that, because they will assume that because you build the whole thing, you know how to fix it when it breaks. Can you imagine how embarrassing it will be to show up at something that you told everyone that you built and it's broken and you don't know where to start fixing it? So, whether you're generating a document or you're generating code for an app or website, you are going to have to go through it to make sure that you understand what's being written there and how everything works, so that when things go south, or God forbid you find yourself in court having to explain how that thing works and you generated the whole thing via AI, that is going to be one heck of a trial to watch. So, now the prevalence of AI in the academic world and also, you know, we have heard of the Africa, including SADC, by the way, because, well, SADC is in Africa, Southern Africa. One thing that we see here is that, AI is being also, you know, there are a lot of discussions of the use of AI in governance. There's already a rising use of AI generated content. So the content creation AI is present. So governance AI is present. The academic world AI is present. So now we look at all this and go like, AI is dominating everything. But there's one part that AI is also dominating that we don't talk about a lot, except until today's home run. And that is in the world of cybersecurity. In the very same way that AI is being embraced by students at universities, or employees in offices, employees in offices both in public and private sector. For public sector, you have to basically rope in your entire, public officials in that. And we saw this with at the beginning of this year when the South African government had to recall their AI legislations because the whole piece of legislation was generated using AI. And tell me something more embarrassing than that. So, the world of, in the very same way that AI is being adopted in, by students, by both students and lecturers, or like pupils and teachers alike in the education sphere of things. And in the governance, you have your lawmakers also adopting AI. In the criminal underworld, AI is also being adopted. And unlike the consumer type of AI that you and I use that has guardrails, because you have restrictions of what you can search for and what you cannot search for, and you have restrictions of what you can generate and what you cannot generate. That's the consumer level that is basically open for everyone for daily users like you and me. But in the criminal underworld, as you can imagine, a lot of the AI models have basically guardrails down. They have been dismantled so that they can just go all out. And turns out, Interpol now produced a beautiful report on the significance of the use of AI in cyber crimes on the African continent alone. Of the 100% of the, 100% of the cyber crimes reported, over 50% of them were executed using AI. One way or another, AI was used. So that means it's just a matter of time before that number, that means that number is just going to keep going. That number is just going to keep rising. And one scary thing they discovered was the execution of AI-generated type of cyber criminal activity, not only is it super sophisticated, but it's also really fast. So, and the largest recorded attacks on the African continent is in Southern Africa. So this is basically where you and I find ourselves. And that's not an accident, because Southern Africa is also, you know, Southern Africa is also one of the most digitized, aka we have we have a lot of electronic devices, basically. And because now this electronic devices or technological interconnectivity that's happening at a very rapid pace on the African continent, and even more rapid in Southern Africa, this is coming with both advantages and disadvantages. The advantage, of course, is technological advancement comes with the ease of doing business and communication and all that. But it also brings about one very terrible problem. Attackers are using the very same technology that's making it easy for you and I to conduct businesses with, you know, with pretty much everyone around the world. If you want to, you know, if you have, if you have American business partners, if you have European business partners, if you have Middle Eastern, you know, business partners, Chinese business partners, you can communicate with them if you have advanced enough technology, you know, digital infrastructure, digital and physical infrastructure, which Southern Africa seem to have done significantly well in terms of advancing compared to a lot of African countries, especially those ones in the central part. So these attacks then, contained in this report, indicates that a large number of attacks, cyber crimes committed on the African continent, happened in Southern Africa and East Africa, parts of Kenya, Tanzania, I think Djibouti, but mostly Kenya, parts of Kenya and Tanzania. This is where you see that you also see the the rise in technology, especially in schools. And you see a lot of digital, both digital and physical technology being taught at universities. And this is basically like teaching, like teaching medicine. Well, here's the thing. When you are teaching someone medicine, you are basically teaching them some of the weakest links of a human being. Now, you are teaching them this, or you are giving them all this knowledge under the very, the standard assumption is that they are not going to use this knowledge for evil. They are not going to become a serial killer and start dissecting people. Now, medicine is taught under the assumption that everyone in this class is going to take an oath and then help people. And we know that a lot, and this is just the common knowledge, just go on the internet and you'll find a lot of doctors that turned out to be serial killers. I'm not saying all doctors are serial killers. I'm just pointing at the historical reference and the possibility of people that studied medicine just using their skills that was imparted on them to do good for bad. So this is pretty much the exact same thing that is going to be observed in the world of technological advancement in terms of giving this knowledge to the to young people in in universities. Take for example. Now, while gathering all the information for today's home run, one thing that I was slightly shocked, I was not largely shocked, because, well, the internet do exist, and I use the internet all the time. But one thing that I was shocked to find was that, at least slightly, is that there are a lot of sources out there of information on hacking, and all these sources, at least actually a large chunk of them are free. Think of it this way. Hacking is sort of like breaking into someone's house to steal the stuff that they have. except you are not breaking into a physical, you know, into a physical property. You are breaking into a digital property. Plus, the fun part of it is you are doing it. You can do it at the comfort of your living room. You don't have to show up at the, well, breaking in someone's house, the traditional way is you showing up with a pick or whatever hardware that you have or lock picking tools at someone's gate. That's the traditional way of breaking in someone's house. Except in the 21st century, the digital way of breaking in someone's property, someone's phone or someone's, a property like a bank, for example, you can just steal a bunch of stuff, or you can do that while seated at the comfort of your living room. And believe it or not, the wisdom or the knowledge that can enable you to do that is all for free on the internet. And of course, all of it has, most of it, at least that I came across as the, standard, disclaimer for education purposes only. So, which is why I started off with the medicine reference. One of the biggest platform that programmers basically meet to share ideas, to collaborate ideas on their line of work is one called GitHub. And GitHub is one of those places that basically has all kinds of information. And this is one thing that I like about, about the science guys. They are happy to share all the information they know, at least about technology, with anyone. Which is why I was slightly shocked, at least, to find out that I know that you can learn anything on the internet. You can learn how to, pick locks, for example. And this is public knowledge, by the way, public knowledge. And there is a lot of information. There's a lot of this information on the internet. All you just have to do is look for it. Now, this then creates a problem. Picture all this, all this free, it's called ethical hacking when you are doing it, for good, quote unquote. But we know that, not everyone uses it for good, but you cannot ban the teaching because just a few people are using it for bad. Otherwise, we're going to have to ban the entire discipline of medicine. Now, since we can't do that, we're just going to have to make people aware of what's going on in that sphere of things. And except today, we're not going to talk about medicine. We're going to talk about the world of technology. Now, this is where Africa now becomes a very interesting, interesting discussion, because all these things, one thing that this taught me was that we have a lot of technology on this continent, but we still use a lot of foreign technology, both physical and digital. I understand the physical is expensive to make when it comes to computer chips, but the digital one would be fairly easy. But then again, that, even if you build one sophisticated app, like one of the Western apps, like IG or the Eastern one, like TikTok, for example, you will need a lot of storage space to keep all that information for all the users that are going to be subscribing. So sooner or later, you're going to shift from digital to physical. Where does cyber crime comes in here? Cyber crimes is something that has been taking place on the African continent, basically the world over. But with the advent of AI, AI is exacerbating that problem. Like, it's making it really fast. And one thing that I think is also worth pointing out is that the rise of AI is also, translating into a lot of tech-savvy individuals. Some of the smartest tech minds are losing their jobs because, AI is taking over those jobs. What do you think all these guys are doing with all that wisdom and all that free time after they lose their, jobs? You can imagine the world of cybersecurity is about to become very exciting. Really, really exciting. Picture this. If you have now the thing is picture vocational training centers all over Namibia, and these vocational training centers offers free lock picking courses. I don't think there's any government on this there's any government on this planet that's going to be okay with that. But for some reason, we have free hacking courses all over the internet. I mean, that's just something that I find fascinating. By the way, lock picking is a practice. You can do it. Yeah. Just don't use it for bed. Lock picking is a practice. If you have seen the movie, The Den of Thieves. Yeah. The Den of Thieves is based on one guy who was very good at picking safes, like storage safes. That is actually, even though what I'm referencing here is a movie, lock picking is a practice that a lot of people do. It's just that I was also shocked to find out that not a lot of people knew that you can actually, pick a lock. And by the way, that information also available on the internet. We have some serious security problems here. That means, the authorities will have to up their games when it comes to sort of like trying to figure all these things out. Lockpicking companies will also have to pull up their socks. But that's just in the physical world. In the digital world, things have gone much, much, much worse. Way worse. How worse? This is where the Interpol report now comes in handy. We're 30 minutes into the hour of 4. Let's take a break and we will continue on the other side. And you're listening to Eagle FM, and this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. He's going to be here. He's just somewhere the Chinese embassy speaking, Mandarin. At least, I hope. I really hope not.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe njife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. So let's go straight to Interpol. Now, this document was made public at the beginning of last month. Now, one thing that they point out on their website is that the Interpol report finds AI linked to more than half of cybercrime in Africa. So, like I pointed out earlier, the very same way that AI is being embraced by your regular employees and employers and students and lecturers and teachers and people, well, criminals are also doing the exact same thing. So, now, artificial intelligence, according to the article, is enabling 55% of reported cyber crimes across Africa, making attacks faster, more scalable, and increasingly difficult for victims and platforms to detect, according to Interpol's African Cyber Threat Assessment Report for 2026. They have a very nice disclaimer on top of their document about how all this information, this report was that's an acknowledgement. What I'm looking for is somewhere here. This report must not be reproduced. Like me, I'm not reproducing. And in any form without special permission. But one thing that I like here is that this report is has not been formally edited. So that's their way of saying take it with a pinch of salt. Now that we have that out of the way, moving on. 2025. According to 2025 statistics, more than 1.1 billion, That's how many people have basically either direct or indirect connection to technology on the African continent. A large chunk of that population is in Southern and Eastern Africa. Now, you and I happen to be in Southern Africa. We know that sooner or later this leads to legislations. But I actually fail to understand what, how much legislations is going to help, because you have to understand that you can have as much legislation as you can, but you also need to educate people enough, because social engineering also, you keep learning things all the time. It turns out in the world of cybersecurity, social engineering is one of those things that they cover. Now, what is social engineering? How do I explain this? Have you ever received a call about someone telling you that you won $5 million for a game you didn't play at Eagle FM? Yeah, that's social engineering. It's basically psychology of lying to you for you to provide your own information to someone who is claiming to be calling from a legitimate company, but they actually aren't. This is actually why wherever you go, especially, and I've seen, actually all financial institutions that I visited, and I visited, quite a few. And one ATM of the local bank, not the subsidiary, the wholly owned Namibian one, has, just this flashing warning labels. They are not telling you that this ATM can explode. They're just giving instructions of what you shouldn't, the information, your financial information, basically your personal information, especially as it relates to finance, that you should not share with anyone, irrespective of where they claim to be calling from. And one of my favorite story, actually, in this sphere of things, was of about two, 3 years ago, Minister of Defense. Our Minister of Defense was called by someone who claimed to be calling from where? Standard Bank. And stole $200,000 from him. Now, that is social engineering 101. It's part of what they teach you in the world of cybersecurity. It turns out there is a thin line between cybersecurity and cybercrime. Isn't that fascinating? You can use the information, you can use social engineering and all kinds of attacks that, and oh, by the way, my reference to vocational training centers that offer a free vocational training center that offer free lock picking lessons? Yeah. You know how we all use this operating system called Windows? At least the majority of us use, you are either using Windows or Mac on the computer, or you're using Android or iOS. The majority of us. Now, the thing is, again, these two are private or proprietary softwares. They are privately owned, but you will find a lot of free softwares that does the exact same thing. And they are even more secure because they're open source. Open source basically means anyone can inspect the source code to make sure that there is not a backdoor that is left that is now used by the owner. Think of a private, how do I put this? Think of open source as having your own house and proprietary, source as you renting. You know that your landlord has a key, right? That's what's worse is that when it comes to these privately owned platforms, you don't know if your landlord has the key or not, but it's always advisable to assume that your landlord has the key. Why am I saying that? Well, because a couple of years ago, Google locked the ICC chief prosecutor from his Google account. The ICC chief prosecutor was locked from his account. Who the heck are you? Now, for you and I, that is just common man. Now, this is what freaked out the European. This is why they went basically nuts with their digital sovereignty discussion and adoption of open source softwares, which included Linux for especially for the French and the Dutch. But what this goes to show is that as long as you are using someone's platform, you're not really that safe. It's always safe to assume that. And the blocking of high-profile figures like Karim Khan, the chief prosecutor of the ICC, indicated that it was more like a reminder for those of us that follow this type of news. Because, the Americans back in 1993 intentionally jammed the GPS, the navigation system of a Chinese cargo ship bound for Tehran. So this has been happening. So that's why I didn't find it surprising when I was reading about it happening to ICC officials. Like, okay, how is this new? And a bunch of people went like, you know what? I am very shocked. I'm like, well, no, I'm not. I'm actually not shocked. Same thing happened when Maduro got kidnapped at the beginning of this year. People were really, 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 really shocked. Like, why is this happening? Where has the world gone? I mean, the world is changing. The world has changed. You just didn't realize. Because what was done to Maduro in Venezuela was done to Noriega in Panama back in the 90s. Nothing new under the sun. You just weren't looking. That's where, you know, Neds now comes in. Don't worry. We got you. Now, back to the... So, for Africa now. We have to talk. Now, the knowledge of building this is here. Oh no, we have a lot of very smart people on this continent. We have a lot of very smart people in this country that can build the alternative of all these things. It's just that, it requires money. And the people that are supposed to be financing these initiatives are busy stealing the money to send their kids to private school and, you know, pay their headache doctor somewhere in Malaysia. And just some nonsense like that. Which is why, I have so much respect for the Tanzanian, you know, for the Tanzanian first gentleman. He passed away in a hospital in Zanzibar. If it was some of these African leaders, would be dealing with the logistical nightmare of flying him from Malaysia. I was like, well, this is my country, isn't it? Plus, Madame is in charge, so I'm good. So, we're just going to use the services here. This is where my sarcasm comes in, but it's, you know, too soon. So, according to Interpol, with more than 1.1 billion mobile subscribers recorded in 2025, Africa's digital transformation is expanding rapidly. However, that's equivalent to but. Cybercrime legislation is fragmented, and AI readiness in law enforcement agencies remains alarmingly low. We did our AI readiness assessment last year, and we concluded that actually we have the conclusion we reached was again nothing shocking. We don't have the legislation. I'm like, really? That's a surprise. And also the infrastructure. I've been like, really? Can you tell me something I don't know? And also, okay, all right. You know what? I'm done. So. The 40-page report draws a survey data from 36 African member countries and highlights a defining shift. We are a member country, by the way. Cyber criminality has evolved from isolated incidents in an industrialized, borderless ecosystem. Because, well, to break into a house, if I'm a thief and I want to break into a house, I'm very limited to houses that I can break in, depending on my location. I'm in Windhoek. If I have to break into a house in Divundu, I will have to hop on a bus and go to Divundu. But I can sit in Windhoek and break into someone's network in Divundu. That's what they meant by borderless. Your information on the internet can be stolen by someone who is sitting somewhere in Taipei, in Taiwan. This is how wide the digital, the digital world, actually the world, the digital world has basically compressed into a digital, into a digital global village faster than all modes of transportation were basically, perceived to be bringing the world together. The very, if there's one thing you can you have to take away from this is be careful of where you click. Yes, it's your phone. But I had to break it to you. You don't know who has access to it. I know, but I have a password and a pattern. Useless. I'm going to say it again. Useless. That pattern, that pattern and the password is for your boyfriend or husband and the kids. That's what the password and the password is for the kids. And the husband and the wife. Unless the husband and the wife is doing cybersecurity, then, or software engineering, I hate to break it to you. You're gonna need a different way of hiding information because a phone is not gonna cut it. It's just not gonna cut it. Welcome to the world of technology. So, before the, before the emergence of AI, we were already talking about, cyber criminals and cyber crimes and people's money being stolen through the internet. And now we seem to have, AI seems to have upped the ante because now it can be done, according to the Interpol guys, which words did they use? AI is making attacks faster, more scalable, aka much bigger, and increasingly difficult for victims and platforms. Platforms take your Windows, your IG, or whatever, or whatever application that you use, or social media platform that you use, or any platform basically that you use, whether it's for social media or for professional reasons. It's becoming very difficult to spot who is a thief and who is not. Thanks to AI. In the very same way that technology is being, the AI technology is being adopted in the positive world, for the lack of a better word, positive, aka, for your school activities, for your work activities, for your entertainment activities. Well, thieves are also using it for stealing activities. And they're in the very same way that, that is very fast for you to do your assignment or to write your legislations, your AI legislation if you're South African. Oh, we have to give South Africans a break on this one. Now, in the very same way that it's fast at helping you do your schoolwork, it is also just equally as fast to help thieves steal your information. In a nutshell, that's pretty much it. But oh no, we're not done. Southern Africa is dominating. Southern Africa is dominating. On the bright side, this indicates that we have a lot of very smart people in the digital sphere, and that means our digital transformation can even be better. There's just one problem: the very same AI that's being used. I don't think this is surprising. You can imagine this is the problem the world over. AI is being used by bad actors in the digital sphere to do bad things, including stealing people's money and the blackmailing, because that's also one of the things that's, they call it, sextortion, or like extortion. There's one brand of Lenovo laptops that come with like a flicker that helps you basically physically close the camera. What does that tell you? Well, just because, well, my laptop is off, do you have your battery in your pocket? No. Then you have to assume it's on. No, but I switched it off. Of course you did. Of course you did. That's why you are an idiot. If we have learned one thing, and you have to understand, this is actually before this whole AI boom. Back in 2013, Edward Snowden back in 2013 told us the exact same thing. One of the programs that was revealed in the Edward Snowden files was a program that was run by the American intelligence. I'm not sure if it was the CIA or the NSA. They called it X-Key Score. Now, this thing can get in and out of your computer without you knowing. They can turn on the camera and watch. I know it's terrifying, but in the world of technology, paranoia is a good thing. And this again is something. Now the lack of awareness of just how advanced and smart our devices are was revealed by General Mkwanazi at the beginning of the Makandla Commission. One thing that he had to point out to lawmakers that, guys, deleting your message doesn't mean it's gone and no one can find it. You should see the look in the face of those officials. Like, hang on a second. Really? You can do that? And, but by the way, Mkwanazi was specifically talking about every man's favorite feature of WhatsApp, view once. Yeah. No, he doesn't have it. I just send it to him view once. Well, it can be found. I hate to break it to you. It can be found. And I think Vuance is a very useless feature. Why am I saying that? Well, it's very simple. If you send me something, Vuance, or anyone, guys, I'm sorry, I have to betray us here. Let me just play Judas. You know, it was just a Vuance. Yeah. You do realize people have more than one or two, more than two phones these days, right? Right. And we can just, well, talk, You get the picture. AI in the world of, AI in the world of stealing. Not making that up. Because cybercrime is just a fancy way of saying, I've never heard of someone that, someone that was stabbed through a computer. But I've heard of stories of people losing their money through a computer. So when you say cybercrime, for me, the first thing that comes up is stealing. That's it. And then they now go in some interesting sort of like gloss through in different different regions of the African continent. In the very same way that the African Development Bank, when they compiled a report, was that the African Development Bank or Afrexim Bank compiled a report of Africa's inter-Africa trade. One thing I like how they broke down the report to this what's happening in Northern Africa, this what's happening in West Africa in terms of inter-Africa trade, this what's happening in East Africa, Central Africa, and Southern Africa. This report is broken down the exact same way, which is, then I love reports. I just love reports. East Africa emerged as a bulb of mobile community fraud. Usually it's West Africa. And this is something that I found very, very fascinating. If you look at the report, the reason why Southern Africa and East Africa is dominating, because, it has gone to the point of Hunters International fiasco of last year. Those guys that are calling individuals and stealing your money and my money as an individual, those are the Tura boys of the cybercrime world. The feature version equivalent of that is guys that are targeting banks and institutions like, Telecom Namibia. And by the way, Telecom was not the first one to basically suffer for suffer as a casualty of Hunters International. That group, they've been doing that and changing names the world over. And every honest IT professional will tell you, especially those ones that are in cybersecurity, basically anyone in IT that knows what they're talking about, they will tell you that attacks are a constant thing on companies. It's happening all the time. It's just that you don't know about it. It's either, they go through and no one tells you about it because, frankly, it's embarrassing. And it's either they are very good at stopping it, one of the two. They stop some, and some that go through, you don't know about them. But the attacks are constantly coming in. That's just on institutions. So think of the cybercrime world as divided in two main categories. There are guys that are targeting broke people like you and me, and there are guys that are targeting institutions like companies. Because let's face it, these are the guys with literal millions of dollars. If you want to steal big, you go for them. Now, the difference is, chance of 90% of the time, the guys that are targeting people like Helmut are just maybe someone who is just sitting in his mother's basement somewhere in Windhoek or somewhere in Nairobi or somewhere in Lagos or Abuja or Accra in Ghana. Now, but the guys that are targeting institutions are well coordinated IT professional. Now, this is the most unfortunate part about this whole cybercrime world and the direction that it's taking, because a lot of them are basically organizations. This is an entire group of people that know what they're doing. They are not just blindly launching Metasploit because they watched one too many times of Mr. Robot. No. They know what they're doing. They are not using, ready-made exploits. They build their own exploits. And this is the scary part. Think of exploits as your hammer and a pair of pliers that you use to break into a physical house. Except you have guys that are so sophisticated, they are building their own hammers and pliers. They are not working in the hard way to buy a hammer or a plier and create this paper trail of the activities that's traceable by the police or the authorities. They are building their own, they have their own locksmith. Yeah. Your phone is a scary thing. And yet we keep our most private things in there. But what do I have to hide? I don't have anything to hide. Why do you have a password? If you didn't have anything to hide, you wouldn't have a button. We all have something to hide. And having something to hide doesn't mean you're a criminal. You just want your privacy. That's all. There are messages you don't want people to have access to. Not because they're filthy, although, socially, that's more often the case. Professionally, it's about confidentiality. That's why a lot of companies, at least that I know, that understand how dangerous the world of the world of cyberspace is, they are very strict about the type of electronic devices you connect to work computers. You don't just throw in any USB. That's how you get fired. You don't just show up with your Because again, boy, did I learn a lot on this subject. It turns out if you go online and just look up something called bad USB, there is such a thing. You will pick it in the street and think, you know what? It's my lucky day. I found a 64 gig RAM USB. Am I just lucky? Yeah. No, you're not. Now, if it really is a bad USB, turns out this thing called a bad USB, what it does is, it's programmed to steal your login credentials as soon as you plug it in And you don't see it happening because 90% of it, to 100% of it, actually 100% of it is running in the background. Now, that's why when you show up to a lot of companies, will show up with your USB, they're going to tell you, yeah, nah, nope. Where do you get that? If you want to transfer information, you let us know. We'll walk you through the proper way of doing it so that if there's a screw up, we are not going to say, oh, well, it was this person that brought in this, you know, this device. We want to have, the right way of who to blame, really. Basically, that's, you just want to narrow it down on who's, you know, who to blame. Or most importantly, at the end of the blame, who to fire. Technology is beautiful. But it is just as scary as it is beautiful. And it is really complicated in the way that it works. That means for us regular users, we're going to have to up our game of trying to understand how it works. To try and understand some of the basic things about how this world of, AI works, I came to learn that a large chunk of the AI world, if not all of it really, runs on a programming language called Python. And also, interesting enough for those of you that are regular users, that is the easiest programming language to learn. May want to look at, and oh, by the way, there are also a lot of sources where you can learn it for free. Now, when you and I, that are just, good people, I would like to assume, are too lazy to learn, basic Python and network fundamentals and, just use a different operating system. Pick any Linux distros, for example. While we are being lazy to do this, Tura boys are spending sleepless nights going through all of it. So when they employ any of these tools against us, and by the way, much of the tools that are used to that are used in hacking are free. I'm telling you, the things I had to learn, they are free. Think of it as having multiple hardwares that sell, pliers and hammers and all kinds of tools that are used in breaking your gate and your door. Multiple hardwares offer these tools for free. Again, the government would never allow that. But for some reason, we have a lot of open source. We have a lot of open source open source tools that basically come loaded with a lot of tools that helps anyone that has basically taken the time to learn how they work. Then they can use them to break into pretty much any device they want if they have acquired enough knowledge on how to use the tools. I know there's one of the Linux distros that a lot of hack enthusiasts like to download, and and I've made that mistake, is Kali. Kali comes with about 200 hacking tools. Think about think of it as like poop cavets. Build it. Deciding, we have a toolbox of anything that you need to break into a house and we are offering them for free. The digital world is savage. And one of the distros they call Black Arch is even worse. I think that comes with about 2,000 to 6,000 tools. In other words, take your pick. You want to break into a network? Here's a tool. You want to break into an Android? Here's a tool. You want to break into an iPhone? Here's a tool. You want to break into a Mac? Here's a tool. You want to break into, you want to break Wi-Fi, you want to break into a Wi-Fi network, here's a tool. You want to hack Bluetooth, oh, here's a tool. And by the way, they are all for free. And that's scary. And we have entire governments that are talking about transitioning governance. Not child's play, no, governance. Into the AI world. And a lot of these users can barely use Excel. Yeah. Now, look, I'm not looking down on you. Look, I'm on the same category in terms of tech savviness. I don't know a single programming language. I use Windows just like, well, everyone else. The point I'm making here is we really have to up our tech skills because thieves are kilometers, thousands of kilometers ahead. And not only are they using all this technology, which again, for the millionth time, free, and the courses to use the technology. The technology is free. The courses to use the technology are free. And then we have you and I that are just sitting here going like, you know what? Bill Gates, that is basically the owner of Windows, is going to take off my computer. Are you sure? Are you sure? Steve Jobs, kicked the bucket a while ago. Whoever is in charge of Apple right now is something Cook, as the CEO last time I checked, is going to take off my Mac. Yeah, right. Of course they will. Of course they will. That's how you lose your money. Before I get back to report, I think one thing I have learned from, at least one thing I've learned after being scared the bejesus out of is that, we have to push our, computer literacy beyond copy and paste. Like Microsoft Office, it's a brilliant idea. And we have to push it beyond, can you send an email or not? Can you send an email via secure channels? Now, that requires you getting hands-on. It's either we do that, or the tech experts that are being replaced by AI are going to use, by the way, the irony is they build the bleeping thing. They are going to use the AI, which they built, to steal your money and my money and everyone else's money. And you and I, the beautiful thing is you and I are too lazy to even learn at least the basics of how devices communicate on a network. It turns out there are libraries or YouTube channels dedicated to all of that. You want to learn networking, you want to learn a programming language, you want to learn an operating system, you want to find alternatives or open source of open source softwares. The information is all there. It's just that it requires it takes a learning curve, and a lot of us are lazy. The reason why we use some of these mainstream operating systems like Mac and Windows is everything that requires for you to type in a command in the distros like the ones that you find in Linux, for example, which I mean, I've tried Mint. Mint is like the beginner friendly. You use it pretty much it's the closest you can get to Windows and Mac. Except it's open source. But the thing is, you and I are looking at these things and we are not making time for it. But thieves are making time for it. And those are the weapons that are formed against us. And according to Interpol, the weapons are prospering. Unlike that verse in Isaiah that says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, this weapon formed against us, boy, is it prospering. It is prospering. We don't have to like it, but the weapon is prospering, whether you like it or not. Now, moving on. East Africa emerged as a hub of mobile money fraud and infrastructure targeted ransomware, business email compromise, and romance scams. My fellow singulars out there. Romance scams targeting both corporate and individual victims were prolific in Central and West Africa. Southern Africa, listen carefully now, that's you and I. Southern Africa's ultra-high connectivity makes it a magnet for global threat actors seeking maximum disruption. How it works, see, that's English with a Thimbukusho accent. How it works, see, someone will send you this very nice link of either something that you really like. This is where, social engineering comes in. Before someone sends you an email, gentlemen, listen here. Before someone sends you an email of a smoking hot chick, believe me, they went through your social media. They know what you are into. They know what you are into. They know what type of body shapes you are into, which is why when they send that picture, it looks exactly like what you are into. Where do you think they got the information? Your social media, you idiot. And they are going to use that, and they will send you an innocent-looking picture. It turns out that that innocent-looking picture is a link. Not a Dwight link. It's an internet link. It's a different link, not the Eagle FM one. Thank God it's not here. Now, and for ladies, before they send you a picture of your ideal guy, that, you know, the ripped one that you like, whether you like one that has his own money or goes to the gym, whatever it is that you are into, you know, I want my guy to drive this type of a car. They got that information from your social media because, well, it turns out, now, here is where I learned that it turns out I'm not the only one who tends to overshare sometimes. Our social media is just a bunch of platforms where we overshare, and a lot of information that is used to disrupt our lives, to steal our stuff, information or money through the internet, is acquired through our social media platform. Basically, this is the information that we have voluntarily shared. Again, mind you, make I remind you, my Minister of Defense is going to have to forgive you on this one. My man set an excellent example of social engineering. He spoke very excellent English. Of course he did. He's a scammer. He's going to speak good English. One thing I admire about scammers is that when a scammer is taking the act of a bank employee, they are going to sound, you know, they are the most professional bank employee you have ever had. Case in point, Minister of Defense. The incident. And if they are calling you to play Prince Charming, they've been the most, believe me when I tell you, they went through the works of Shakespeare, they went through Franz Kafka, they went through Alexander Pushkin, they went through Dostoevsky, they went through all of those. And they combined the romantic poetry of these four giants into something that will make you blush in the middle of the night. Definitely not talking from experience. How do you know those poets? I read poems. Leave me alone. I just don't skim. In the middle of the night, I'm sleeping. Maybe I should just give that a shot. But until then, I sleep a lot. That's actually one of the problem. Plus, what do I know about, the cybersecurity? So, the financial toll of cybercrime in Africa is significant. Since 2024, cybercrime-related losses have more than doubled, from $192 million to $484 million. Multiply that by 16, or 16, 17, give or take a few cents. driven primarily by AI-driven schemes, credential harvesting, and automated social engineering campaigns. Again, social engineering. Believe me when I tell you, I had no idea that when people study computers, they also study human behavior. It turns out they do. And it's just me that found out late is something that is as old as time. You can't learn how to break into someone's phone without first understanding that behind that phone is a human being and that human being has a brain. You have to break in both the phone and the human being. It turns out the fastest, easiest way to break into the phone is through the human being. Just tell them that they won $1 million from a platform they have never heard of when they played a game they never participated in. I know. That radio silence is just me preparing to murder my very techie wife. And unfortunately for me, I'm married to one. Very, 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 very techie. This means instead of hiding all my secrets on the phone, I think I should resort to writing everything the traditional way, the pen and paper. Yeah, Tish eventually finds all those, and now you have all the evidence. So, according to the report, in 2025, online scams continued to be the most reported type of cybercrime. That's why I pointed out earlier that when we talk about cybercrime, every time that we talk about cybercrime, we are more often talking about stealing, basically. Killing, not much. Not that I've heard of. Killing, not very much. But it's a predominantly, you know, stealing. Why am I saying that? Because, well, it's kind of difficult to strangle someone through the computer. But you can steal stuff from someone through the computer. You can steal their food in their kitchen through the computer because you will have to go to their kitchen. And you all want AI-operated toilets and one day someone will lock that toilet after, you know, intentionally spoiling your food with, spoiling your AI-operated fridge food. So the first thing they will do is sabotage your fridge so that your food can spoil without you knowing. And then you will eat that food and end up with diarrhea. And then they will hack the toilet and then lock it. And then we'll send you an email that if you really, really, really want to use this toilet at 3 o'clock in the morning, whose door are you going to knock? You will have to send us this amount of money. You'll punch in that password faster than you can blink. Un momento, s'il vous plaît.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe kike kovano ile koshuwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And Basically, any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Eagle FM, the Eye. We are 19 minutes into the hour of 5. And you are listening to Home Run with Helms and Dwight on Eagle FM. And today's discussion is how thieves are also using AI. And they are, in the very same way that, technology and basically AI is helping you get good marks in school, and how technology and AI basically is helping you. And AI is also a part of technology, so it is just, it's just redundant at this point. How AI is helping you to be, to be fast at your job, and how AI is helping you to be fast at your schoolwork. Well, AI is also helping thieves to be fast at stealing your stuff. They have never been a time to be more careful online. Because, data centers are popping up the world over. And these are not just your regular data centers. These are AI data centers. That means the use of AI is about to dominate all aspects of our lives. It has dominated all so far, but that dominance is only going to, is only going to rise, and it has been rising. Now, that means if there has ever been a time to basically take interest in AI, not just for our lawmakers that are drafting a regulation to regulate the whole thing, but I would argue that the regulations are not as important as educating people to be aware of the advantage, basically the pros and cons of AI. We're not talking about its water and energy consumption. Now that's where regulators, you guys can shine. You guys can just come in and that's very easy to regulate. That's easy to regulate, but who uses it and how? That's very tricky, because writing the legislations, you can write them, but investigating after those laws have been broken, it's going to be very complicated, because the activities and the use of AI and for both good and bad are transboundary. You can write laws about the use of AI in Namibia, that this is what happens when you use AI, for example, to steal someone's money, and then someone from Singapore steals my money, and you have a jurisdiction issue. That's from the get-go, and now you have you have to find out whether the person that is suspected, or the organization that is that's suspected to steal your information or your money as an individual or as a company, is in a whole different country. You are looking at again, extradition treaties, the whole thing becomes political really fast. And we all know that, okay, how long did the Fisher case take? And it's still ongoing. It's been about, what, like 6 years? That's just in Namibia. Picture a transboundary one. It's going to take forever. So it's just safe to understand the basics to keep yourself safe. I think that's much better than leaving everything in the hands of legislators, because there's only so much they can do to protect you and me. The best way to solve all this problem is to help people understand that in the world of cybersecurity, there's something that I think every company, not just financial institutions, nightmare, and that is social engineering. The biggest flaw, the biggest threat to your own security is you, especially in the world of technology. The biggest threat is you. If someone claims to call you from the bank and they ask you to download AnyDesk, now, for those of you that don't know what that is, if you know, congratulations. You are keeping up with the times in the world of technology. But if you don't know, don't worry. I will help you keep up with the world of technology. AnyDesk is an application just like you have, your WhatsApp and Instagram or Google, except these are different applications. Chrome is is a browser. It gives you access to the internet to get all the information that you would like to have access to on the internet. We are not asking what information, that's on you. Now your WhatsApp and your Instagram, TikTok, and all that. Now these are social media. That's where you go if you wanna laugh and look at just social things, or more like that. If that's where you get your news, again, congratulations. But AnyDesk is an application that you can download. That if you download it, and I have it on my computer, and I ask you to download it and you give me access, then I can control your computer from my computer. I know, but how is that going to happen? Well, you are in Windu. I mean, Divundu. Yes, that's what AnyDesk was invented to solve. So that, people were basically, I think it was just, the tech guys. They got tired of giving people direction. Okay, what's happening to your computer? It's not working. It's showing this kind of pictures. How can I get rid of them? And these guys were giving you and I instructions all the time. Just open your window, and people stood up and opened the window of their room. When the window they were instructed to open is the window on the computer. So to solve that problem of people opening their room windows instead of their computer windows, the tech guys came up with a brilliant solution, which is, instead of me giving you instructions on which window to open, or which application to open, or which part of your computer to go to solve your problems that you're having with, you're having on your computer, you can just, download AnyDesk. So as soon as you download it, punch in the information, and that information will give me access, and then I can solve all your computer issues that you have. Your Bluetooth was off. To turn it off, then you can just click here. Now, I'll just be moving the case from Windhoek, and I'll be giving you instructions in Divundu. Brilliant app. Excellent solution. Except thieves were like, excellent idea. Excellent idea. Now, we are just going to be using the very same app that was used to solve a genuine problem. Now we're just going to be using it to tell people to download it so they can give us access to their account, so that we can just, because if you have for example, your FNB app on your computer, and you are logging in, and I can see your login details on my computer. If you didn't know better, you'd be sitting in your room thinking, no one is here. Who else is looking at me? I'm just typing in my password. AnyDesk means if I'm connected to AnyDesk on your computer, I can see what you are typing, both your name, username, and password and all the private information that you have on that device, I can have access to it. And that's how people are having their information stolen. And they're telling them, you know all those spicy pictures you have on your computer? Yeah, I also have them on my computer. You can get them. You can get them. You have 4 hours to send me this amount of money or it will all be on Facebook. Have a good day. I know, the sarcastic part of me brings out in a form of a joke because, well, it's, let's face it, it's funny. But a lot of people are finding themselves in serious situations using, because of apps like AnyDesk. It's not the app that's a problem. It's the, it's the evil genius behind it, the one that's using it, and the innocent person that doesn't understand how the app works. And they are being given instruction by someone who they think is genuinely trying to help them. No, they're not. So, for me, the legislation part is very debatable. Legislation can help in a lot of ways with regards to, to trying to solve or to curb the crimes of being committed in cyberspace. But I think, cybersecurity, more like digital literacy, would help more than legislation. Now, that means combining the two is even excellent. It's not going to help even if we have the best legislations, cybersecurity legislations, if people are still sharing their personal details because they believe someone is calling them from Standard Bank, Minister of Defense, or if people are still giving their information, or if people are still listening to someone telling them to download AnyDesk. There's nothing much legislation is going to do with that, because the most difficult part of this, of cyber crime activities is tracing them, is investigating them. It's not easy. So I think being safe is better than just, being sorry. My English teacher liked to say that when you are basically gave me an excellent internet exploration idea. Every time you're on the internet, don't be a yes machine. In other words, don't just go around clicking stuff. Yes, 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 yes. No. Chances are very high. You're going to get scammed. No, I have seen her picture. She's really hot. Where is she from? She's from Sierra Leone, huh? Let me get this straight. How many hot chicks in Windhoek have approached you? None. And you think a hot chick on the internet all of a sudden has a crush on you? Miracles happen. No, it's not miracles. You're an idiot. Because I'm 99% to 100% sure behind that computer that sent you that picture is a dude. So you have a crush on a dude. At this point, I can't help but go the very Simon Kangwanja sarcastic way. Why are you gay? Yeah, that interview went viral really fast. Anyway. Uh, 72% of the surveyed countries reported the presence of scam centers. And these are the organizations that I referenced earlier. You have individuals that are just maybe trying out how these tools work, like your Metasploit, like your Metasploit or Jack the Ripper, and other tools that comes again with, for free, with Kali. Whose idea was that? 200. This is a toolbox, an entire toolbox on how to break into computers and networks, and they all come for free. If you start saying, you're just sharing very dangerous knowledge. It's on the internet and it's free. So you're going to have to listen to your financial institutions, because I'm referencing financial institutions here, because they're the institutions that I have seen that have taken like cybersecurity or more like a fraud awareness to a whole another level, where they are basically telling people that, first of all, your bank will never call you to ask you for this and this and this and this and this information. Now, if you look carefully, or if you look at the stories that have, you know, the fraud or scamming stories that have happened, you will know that the information that's listed there is the information that's more often asked for by scammers when they call you claiming to be calling from a legitimate institution. Oh no, how does he know I have a bank with FNB? Really? How does he know that I have that I bank with Standard Bank? Well, seriously? You have pictures of you on your Facebook page. You know, with a stack of money there and your banking card, telling people that you have money. No, it's just content creation. Yeah, it's content creation for you. It's recon for a thief. Very important recon info. Yeah. Oh, technology is beautiful. And it doesn't stop there. We're going to get to Namibia in a few. Just bear with me. AI-enabled cyber threats. Digital sextortion. Single people, gather around. Digital sextortion and online harassment, often facilitated by AI-generated deepfakes and synthetic media, remained perverse, with some 600,000 sextortion detection recorded by trained AI on one of several partners of Interpol. Earlier this year, a picture of the Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, a picture of her in lingerie popped up on the internet. And I like how she approached that problem. Instead of trying to bury the whole thing because she's a prime minister, she decided to make it public. And if you read at what she wrote, she just made it clear that, thanks to AI, you can generate a lot of deep fake information on any person right now. Any person. And one thing she pointed out was that verify before you comment and share. A lot of us, because we don't understand much about how the world of AI-generated images or videos work, we'll just share, oh, look at this person. Well, they were caught with this person's husband or this person's wife. Well, these things are taking place in reality. Usually, when someone catches you with their wife and their husband, they don't take pictures of you. No, they kick the heck out of you. That's one thing I know. Every time that a picture of, you know, of someone who is supposedly caught with someone's wife pops up on the internet, my first question is, this must be one nice husband who caught his wife with a guy and had time to take pictures. Let's face it. There are not a lot of people, if any, has the patience to catch their spouse with someone and then have the time to take pictures. Usually, just use that time to commit murder. But don't do that. Don't do that. The point is, one thing I appreciate about what the Italian Prime Minister did was she approached that, she used it as an education campaign, basically, to educate people that we live in a world where generated pictures and videos are basically a norm at this point. Thanks to AI, all anyone needs to generate compromising. Think of naked pictures of any type of very embarrassing pictures of you. All they just need is a picture of your face, which can be found all over your social media. Now, and then they can generate any compromising picture out of that, or any compromising video of that. Now, the reason why it's important to basically make a lot of people aware of how easy this, how easy it is to do this nowadays, is that people will, people will be, they'll start looking and more like, they'll begin verifying. They'll start verifying and asking questions before sharing and commenting. Yeah. Welcome to the 21st century. Now, sextortion is exactly what it sounds like. Combine the word extortion and sex. Using the use of compromised pictures and videos that are supposed to be viewers as blackmail for you to send a certain amount of money so that they are not released. This information, before the advent of AI and generated videos and pictures, they had to be stolen from your phone. Now, no one has to do that anymore. All they just need is one single picture of you, which is, again, we all have pictures of ourselves on social media, and then just merge them together in a very cynical, and I have to admit, creative way, and then use that information to blackmail you. That's also one of those things that's happening. So you are looking at genuine attacks. Attacks are more often associated with companies. This way they're just attacking, trying to steal information and then steal that information and then lock it up in their own storage space. And everything is taking place digital here. And then they send that a company an email address with a bank account, mostly just channeling, mostly through bitcoins. You have to channel this money so that at the end of the day, it is very, 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 very difficult to trace. Once the transfer is being made, yeah, that money is good as gone. You'll need a lot of digital forensic experts to trace it, let alone getting it back. Okay. Again, this is why I'm saying, for me, the main solution here is educate people. Let's push our computer literacy beyond Microsoft Office. Beyond sending an email. Beyond Canva. I know. My fellow Canva there. Neighbor. Beyond Canva. Assuming she's not listening because I'm going to get mad at after this. That means once you understand that in the world of tech, there's something called social engineering, you'll be very careful how you give your information over a phone call, even if someone is claiming to be calling from the bank that he bank with, or any established institution. Because once you understand that social engineering is literally lying, it's literally lying for you to provide your private information, your personal information, your confidential information. Once you understand that social engineering is a thing, even when your bank, which I don't think I've been called by a bank asking for my password or PIN. No. Look, they can do that, but they don't, because they know that if they start doing that, you won't be able to tell who is a thief and who is really calling from the bank. So, which is why I think it's really a brilliant idea that they decided, you know what, we can do this. We have telephones. We have cell phones. We can call, but we're not going to do it because, it's been diluted. That service has been diluted. It can be because anyone then can just call and claim to be calling from a bank. To be, as one once called by someone from MTC. Interesting enough, one, I didn't participate in any competition. And for two, it was around 7 or 8. I was like, okay, what time does MTC close? And by the way, that information can be found on the, you know, if you use a GPS, you can find that information on their, you know, if you just go on, if you just open GPS, for example, or Google Maps, if you open Google Maps, which I use a lot, and you just look up any company, it will show you when it is, when it opens, when it closes, when it's a holiday, they will tell you that a time changes during holiday sometimes, because we all know that during holidays, companies close early. Some of them don't even open during holidays. Now, the thing is, there were a lot of red flags. For one, the number came as unknown without a number. That means the number is private. Like, okay, MTC has taken a step, things a step too far at this point. And the second was calling me about a prize that I had won about $5,000, I think. And in a competition, I know I didn't participate in. I participate in competition. Don't get me wrong. But my competitions usually don't involve prizes. Usually they don't. And more often the competitions are in the physical world, not in the digital one. If it's a digital one, it's usually just me playing sniper in Call of Duty. And everyone, anyone calls me that you want $10,000 from Call of Duty, I'm just going to laugh my lungs out because I know how it works. It's entertainment, not come and win some money. There are tournaments that are held. I've never even participated in them because that's for people that don't have jobs. Like a lot of people, we call them sweats or more like unemployed. That's what they do. They play games day in, day out. So every map that you're going to use, they know that map in and out. They know every gun and every, you know, every shotgun, every sniper, every assault, every, they know all that. Now, I have a job. I don't have time for that. I only play the game for when I'm bored. So there are tournaments that are held, but I just played for fun. Here's the thing. Anything that you are going to do online, gather as much information as possible. Know your phone beyond sending a message, which I know is tricky. Now, because the world of cyber criminality was dangerous before AI, and right now it's even more dangerous, while sinister, fast, and very elusive. Yeah. Similarly, sophistication of business email enterprises, BEC, schemes increased dramatically. With AI used to generate highly convincing email correspondence, with Africa-based threat actors targeting victims in Europe, North America, using infrastructure located across multiple jurisdictions. These multiple jurisdictions is why I am arguing here. I know Interpol, our laws here in Namibia, basically the world over, especially when it comes to combating issues that are coming with AI. There are a lot of advantages that are coming with AI, especially issues, problems like its application in cyber criminal activities. The problem is, even if each and every country wrote the most impeccable legislations on combating cybercrime, AI-related cybercriminal activities, those cases are going to drag on forever. Because wherever you have, the example I gave earlier, Fishrot has taken 6 years. That's just one jurisdiction. Okay, throw in Iceland, you're talking about, Iceland is a whole different jurisdiction. Now, and this is a case of national interest. Now, a case of personal interest involving multiple jurisdictions. Yeah. Do you really have that money? extradition treaties will have to be signed. That's going to take forever. Well, jeez. Investigations will have to be exchanged and shared between different police of these jurisdictions, and then the laws have to be... That, again, is going to take forever. Now, for me, this whole discussion around cybersecurity is, it's better safe than sorry. You can't be 100% safe. That's not happening. Everyone who, you know, everyone in the tech world who is honest enough is going to tell you, there is no such thing as 100% safe. It's the same thing that you are told about, you know, the same thing that you are told about physical locks. There's not a single lock that is 100% secure. All it took me was one, I think about 4 or 5 videos from one guy that calls himself, you know, lockpicking lawyer on TikTok. And I realized, I don't think I'm having an electronic lock on my house. I'm not sure if it's all of them, but most of them are the most useless locks you'll ever, they look fancy. You know, put in a fingerprint and then you hear that clicking sound and then it opens. Here's the thing. It's basic magnetism. It's basic, it's actually basic electricity and basic magnetism. You can't have a permanent magnet in there. Otherwise, once it locks, it's not gonna open. So what you need is temporary magnetism. Now, temporary magnetism means electricity running through a coil. That means no electricity means no magnetism. Now you see the problem. One big problem. Not only is it based on electricity, on magnetism that can be turned on and off, it's also spring-loaded. That means switch off the electricity and that thing is going to pop up. So this is why multiple locks now are used. Because we know one is not enough. You have a lock for your gate. You have a lock for your house. You have a lock for your room. You have a lock for your house. And by that, I mean, the wooden door and the burglar door. You have locks all the way through because you know that the more the merrier. One is just not enough. But for some reason, we just look at our phone and go like, I'm in. My phone is very safe because I have a pattern. My phone is very safe because I have a password, and your password is 12345. You gotta be kidding me. And we have a lot of confidence in that 12345 password, which is why I pointed out earlier. That password is for the ogre or the madam and the kids, because the thieves that we are talking about here, for one, they will call you so you can give them the password. That's what's called social engineering. So if you don't know that social engineering is a thing, you'll participate in that discussion that, you know what, he sounds very professional. He must be really be calling from the bank. He is not. Nine minutes to six. So we still have enough time to basically go through all the information that I have here. So AI is being used to generate business emails. So this is an email that looks very convincingly like an Eagle FM email. This is an email address that looks very convincingly like a Telecom Namibia email, like a Bank Windhoek email, like a Standard Bank email, like a Vormanbrock email. You want something. The email and the logo and everything looks very convincing. AI is also being used to generate that. There are a lot of things that you know that are basically off that you'll see. It's more often the domain name is going to be off, especially if someone is just .na. If I see, you know, mtc.za, this is interesting. We should develop a culture of calling the head offices of the institutions that whose services we use. I know how annoying that is, because you get to listen to that to be transferred to the next operator. Please press this number, and then you press the number. While our operators are busy, especially at the end of the month, which is the time that people get paid, and this is where all these calls, fake calls, and stealing activities also escalate. So there's a lot of human behavior type of engineering going on there. So when you call any institution, especially at the end of the month, they have a lot of traffic. They will tell you to hold for a long period of time. I think it's safe to sit through that holding period than lose your money because you are not willing to wait to call your bank to verify whether the person that's calling that called you really called from that bank. And don't call back the number that called you, pretending to be calling from the bank. Go on your bank's website. Actually, take your banking information, get their number from there, and call them. And tell them, there is someone that called me here. He said his name, and this is his name, and he was calling from this branch. So instead of just downloading any desk, ask, what is your name? Which branch are you calling from? Or which bank or which branch? I get as much information as possible and tell them, let me call you back. And you hang up. They'll be waiting. Scammers, they'll be waiting. It's either they'll be waiting or they're going to call you back. And then call your bank, give them the information that this helped Mahongo called me. There's a guy who called me from this branch. His name is Helmut Mahongo. He's telling me that there are some suspicious activities with my bank account. 90 to 100% of the time, after getting usually what I've been asked about especially with financial institutions is what is your ID number. Once you give them your ID number, they will just have all the access to your information. And they will tell you, hey, we don't see any suspicious activities here. And if there are any, and even if I was told there are any, and thank heavens for me, I would rather walk in their head office. If you're in the middle of nowhere, that's a whole different ballgame. But still, normalize calling your bank, people. Normalize calling the company that is claiming to call you asking for your private information. You're welcome. Shout out to Eagle FM and Helmut and... Did I say Helmut already? Yeah, but anyway, and Helmut. And also Helmut. But most importantly, Helmut and Homerun and Eagle FM and Helmut. Now, so we have sextortion, basically blackmailing you based on AI-generated pictures of you. AI-generated compromising pictures of you. That's one thing that is common in Africa, especially in Southern Africa, and the AI generated email address that looks very convincingly like that of a particular company that you may know. AI has taken that, and cyber thieves are using that to their advantage. So now, and the next part they have here is, the report also reveals the absence of real-time inter-agency data sharing between banks, telecoms, and law enforcement agencies. In other words, your banks and your telecommunication companies and the police are not working together for the most part. So, by the time that your money is stolen from your bank account, and you find out, and you go and report to the police. The police is not working with the bank, and you received a call. So now you are looking at three institutions that must work together: your financial institution, your telecommunications company, the one that offers the service that the one you bought the SIM card from, and the police are now involved. Right. In your own country alone, it's already complicated. Because there are three entities involved. Throw in cross-border involvement. You're talking about a jurisdictional issue, not on a regional level, on a continental level, because a lot of the people that were arrested running scam centers, it's basically an organization, illegal, still an organization, because it is organized literally. That's how they stealing all that. But anyway, one thing that you see here is it's not just a cross-continental problem. It's a cross-global problem. Because some of the victims that are being targeted by African scammers are Europeans and Americans. And Hunters International, before they popped up on Telecom Namibia's radar, they have been causing chaos in the U.S., that's Hunters International. The Lazarus Group caused a lot of headache for Sony a couple of years ago. I think that was in 2014, 2015. Lazarus Group. It's a group of people that that do more with their computers than watching movies. And their targets can't even... They don't even know how to switch off a computer. So a lot of their targets are basically sitting ducks. You're looking at professionals, and their targets are nowhere near professional at using a computer. But this is where the companies that offer the services that a lot of us use have, security measures in place. This is where the biggest issue here is the social engineering component. A lot of us just receive a call and listen to, the moment we hear someone speaking English, he's educated. There's no way a thief is educated. Really? I know a bunch of thieves that are pretty much educated. A lot of them we call politicians. I'm never getting a job in public, so in public office, am I? Anyway. So, they are not only a lot of things to watch out for. But also, this, I would argue, this information is requiring us to up our game in digital and computer literacy. Because, we're sitting with AI, and I know one of the biggest debate out there, especially when it comes to coding, is the waste of time to learn how to code, because, AI can already do that. I think there has never been a better time to learn how to code than now. Because AI can generate code. AI can generate code. But how many of us can read code? I know I can't read code to save my life. You don't have to be an expert. Just know how to read it. Because if you don't know how to read it, you don't know what it does. But we are installing it, just install and generate a bunch of pictures. And we're already having a problem with targeted advertising because of the metadata associated with the pictures and video. Basically, all the content that we upload on the internet. It's just a picture. It turns out in the world of targeted advertising, that picture you have, it has your phone screen resolution. It has the type of phone that you're using, the type of camera that you use, the location you took the picture from. All those things, your surrounding is absorbed, and this information is scrubbed from that picture and sold to a lot of companies. And companies are paying millions, if not billions, for the information that you're just looking at. It's just the location. That's a lot of money. So the better way of looking at it is those of you and I that just take pictures without putting all the and upload them without putting in consideration just how much metadata you are uploading on the internet, we're making a lot of targeted advertising companies very rich. Congratulations, but you and I are broke. What are we doing with our lives? Quick break. Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. Cybercrime and the use of AI. AI in the hands of cyber thieves is a weapon formed against you and I. And according to Interpol, that weapon is prospering. So, watch out.
Lipura nengelo wapombwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete ofoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pombo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We are 4 minutes into the hour of six. We still have ample time to go through, to bring things home now. Land of the brave, Namibia. Let's talk about this. Telecom Namibia, congratulations. You made it into Interpol. We are a member. I'm not surprised, but we made it into Interpol. You made it in the Interpol report. So, Namibia. Namibia is properly indicated ransomware from opportunistic attacks to infrastructure sabotage. In Southern Africa, Namibia pops up a lot, thanks in part to Hunters International. And, to Hunters International and, Telecom Namibia, I don't want to say collab because, well, one is a victim, one is an attacker. Namibia. Right. Here we are. The contemporary African, cyber threat landscape. Just keep all that and go straight to my favorite country. Land of the brave. Yep, here we are. Ransomware incidents were similarly prevalent across South Africa, Nigeria, Namibia, Senegal, and Zambia, with attacks increasingly targeting healthcare institutions, utility providers, and public service portals to maximize disruption and extortion potential. This is someone breaks in your company's, digital infrastructure and steal your most important information and lock it up and tell you that we will give it to you if you send us this amount of money, ransom. Why is it called ransomware? Well, because most of it is packaged in the form of a software that is sent to one of the employees in the form of a smoking hot chick. And they click on it. Thinking, you know what? I haven't gotten lucky in a while. Maybe, I will. This time with a smoking hot chick from Nigeria. And one thing they quickly find out is that, well, the picture doesn't have much to it. Okay? It's just a picture. It's just a useless email. No, you just installed something. You have no idea. Now, your company is facing a tech nightmare. So, ransomware, well clarified there. Now, Africa's digital economy continues to expand at an unprecedented scale, underpinned by a rapid technological adoption, mobile connectivity, connectivity growth, and digitization of public and private sector services. This is your financial and health institution and education and all that. Everything is being digitized. Digitizing something means when you make something digital means we are also increasing the digital access. When you increase digital access, anyone at the comfort of their living room halfway across the planet can access it. If you have it in a hard paper format, someone who is in Singapore or someone who is in Vietnam cannot access what's in your safe. But as long as you put it on your computer and it's connected to Wi-Fi, hallelujah. I know. Is both fascinating and scary. In 2025, the continent recorded more than 1.1 billion mobile subscriptions and facilitated more than 1.1 trillion in digital transactions. I mean, who would want to deal with the nightmare of having cash anymore? We just want all e-wallet, e-wallet, blue wallet, and swipe and all this. It's the convenience that comes with not having cash on you. And also having a lot of cash on you puts a target on you. You're putting a target on your back. You can easily get robbed. You're putting yourself in harm's way. So the digitization, all the swiping and the electronic transfer of money makes, gives you safety from being attacked if you had hard cash. But the physical attack component is taken away, but the digital attack component is exponentially raised. On the bright side, you're not getting staked. At least not literally. With a pro, and yeah, 1.1 trillion digital transactions, reinforcing its position as a critical node in the global digital ecosystem. With approximately 570 million internet users, critical infrastructure sectors includes financial services, healthcare, government administrations, Hans International, Telecom Namibia, and telecommunications have become increasingly exposed to systemic cyber threats. In other words, it's organized, it's fast, it's elusive, and it keeps getting scarier by the day. So it not only do institutions, both public and private, have to have a lot of digital and social engineering basic understanding of how cyber criminals work, but also the end user, the consumers of the service or product they provide must be equally aware, at least just on their end too. Yeah. Fascinating. The proliferation of emerging technologies, including AI and Internet of Things, IoT, and blockchain technology has introduced new vectors for exploitation. While these innovations drive efficiency and inclusion, they have also been weaponized by cyber criminal actors to conduct scalable, large scale, automated and highly targeted attacks. It turns out one of the easiest project you'll work on in your introduction days of coding is build a bot. You'll build a robot that will just leave some very nasty comments on people's videos. It's that and a calculator. Actually, I think you should look into this whole coding thing. It sounds fun. I mean, I just watched a bunch of videos on how the world works, and it sounds very exciting. And I was like, hang on a second. A social media bot is the easiest thing you can build. You can do that once in your early days of coding. That sounds scary. It turns out it's a calculator, a password generator, and it's like, that sounds fun, really. Really, really, really sounds fun. But the social engineering guys, I'll give you that. Whoever is teaching social engineering, UNAM NASA, all other institutions that have cyber security course, related courses, whoever is teaching social engineering, is that an IT guy, a psychologist, or a combination of both? Because that sounds fascinating and scary, but mostly fascinating. I'm just speaking for me here. Give me a break. I'm saying that it's fascinating because, well, it worked once on our Minister of Defense. Don't shoot the messenger. Called from Standard Bank. Very professional. Still my favorite joke. Also, cyber. Yeah. So, a high volume of data breaches was observed. A ransomware supply chain compromises and data breaches were persistent and escalating threats. A high volume of data breaches, basically information stolen, that's what it means. Data breaches was observed relating to users and organizations originating from South Sudan, South Africa, Nigeria, again, Namibia. Namibia between January 2024 and September 2025. Ransomware incidents were highly prevalent across South Africa, Nigeria, again, Namibia, Senegal, and Zambia, with attacks increasingly targeting healthcare institutions, utility providers. So you have ransomware. Namibia tops up down. Namibia is just popping up there. Ransomware is prevalent in Southern Africa and East Africa. It's prevalent. But it's also higher in countries like South Africa. I mean, Namibia is all over this place. Yeah. But did I leave Namibia again? Oh, yeah, somewhere here. Southern Africa. Southern Africa remains the continent's most digitally advanced and most heavily targeted region. Digital advancement means also digital exposure to cyber criminal, which means also, the rise in digital thieves attacking your country. Or attacking institutions in your country, both institutions and individuals. Individuals is mostly, I'm calling from this bank. For institutions, it's mostly, one of your employees clicked on a link that they were not supposed to click. They thought they were getting lucky. And now I have all your company's information. Send a shout out to them for me. Please, thank you. And now I have all of their information. Now, what I want from you is this amount of money within this time frame, or all this information is going to be all over the internet. Think of the digital world and cyber criminals as think of the digital world as your body, and think of cyber attacks as as microorganisms, basically diseases that are constantly attacking your body. You are healthy because you don't feel sick, or if you're anything like me, you haven't felt sick in a while. Because why? Not because you have not been attacked. You are constantly being attacked. If you haven't fallen sick in a while, congratulate yourself. It means your immune system is constantly at work. And your immune system is constantly at work. Constantly at work. If it had an off day, we would attend a funeral. The digital world is pretty much the same. Both your electronic devices both your electronic devices or your servers or your home network or your work network or your any type of network is under constant attack. It's just that the defense mechanisms put in place is blocking away most of them. Those that do get through are the ones that we hear about. But that doesn't mean take Hunters International and Telecom Namibia, for example. That's not the first time they were attacked. That's just one of those attacks that went through. But like, and it wasn't just them. Institutions and individuals, as long as you have an electronic device, it is under constant attack. Congratulations. Now, Southern Africa. Southern Africa remains the continent's most digitally advanced and most heavily targeted region. South Africa accounted for 92% of all ransomware detected in Africa by Trend AI, the company that worked with Interpol to compile this document. 92% of the ransomware. In other words, the thieves are targeting South African institutions day in and day out. You wanna bet how many of those institutions have subsidiaries in Namibia? Short answer, a lot. So when you hear South Africa, throw Namibia in that bucket. Now, some of the attacks involved incidents affecting critical infrastructure such as the South African water service, South African railway, and Paratus Telecom, and you have the region's ultra high connectivity. Anchored by subsea cable landings and dense data center networks, makes it a magnet for global threat actors seeking maximum disruption. And then they go into something called DDoS attack. Don't worry, I googled the Moses out of it. The example I was given is feeding you food. Usually they are supposed to wait for you to chew information and to chew the food, and after swallowing it, that's when they give you another spoonful. Except when it comes to DDoS attack, you have a server as a company, and this company there's a lot of traffic taking place. People are accessing your company website, asking for information, and now this server has to respond with specific information being requested by each and every single user. And they are requesting all kinds of different information. Now, DDoS attack example is, let's go back to someone feeding you with a spoon. Instead of waiting for you to finish chewing, they are already having a ladle full, not just a standard spoon, not just a tablespoon or a teaspoon. They have a ladle, which is full of whatever it is that they are feeding you. And they keep feeding you until you basically choke on that information. Think of yourself as a server and the food, and now I'm hungry already, the food that you are being fed as requests that are just being thrown your way to overwhelm you so that you can just... shut down or just not function properly. That type of attack, it turns out, it's a thing in the digital world. I didn't know, I have to admit. And now I do. These tech guys are having a lot of fun with all this wonderful information. DDoS attack. First I thought it was a dildo. But that's uncalled for, but 1,000 apologies. Anyway, DDoS attack. DDoS attacks peaked in the region, with South Africa alone recording 213,532 attacks, a single incident reaching 312 gigabits per second. That's NASA level speed internet, dwarfing all the regions. Mauritius and Angola also staged in DDoS attack, reflecting the concentration of high-value digital infrastructure. Phishing. Now, my fellow Kavangos and Zambezians, this is a different kind of phishing. This is PH phishing, not FI phishing. Phishing is someone basically pretending who they are not in order to get certain information from you. That's a very basic way of putting it, at least as far as my limited knowledge of tech basically comes through, in terms of like getting the information and bringing it down in a colonial English, in a colonial language. Phishing was rampant. In other words, if you could just say hi, that's just a private school. Phishing was rampant with, again, South Africa accounting for almost 40% of all African phishing detections, followed by Mauritius. At 22%, followed by Mauritius at 22%. According to SocRadar, another institution that Interpol was working with, BEC, AI generated business email, basically fake email of a company, which turns out can also be AI generated. This world is becoming more and more scary by the day. Now, BEC activities originating from the region targeted global enterprises, particularly in the United States and Europe. And based on trend AI data, Angola recorded the highest FortiGuard labs botnet detection volume in the region. In other words, Angola, if you get an email address, an email from an Angolan company, look carefully. Because Angola is topping the chart of AI, of Mola, and this is not Angola's fault, it's because it's AI generated. Anyone can generate this from anywhere using AI and pretend to be an Angolan company. Yeah. Wonderful things, isn't it? It's scary, but we have to admit it's fun. So Angola recorded the highest of the BEC incidences in terms of cyber criminals. And you want to know who is coming in second after that? I'll let you guess. Namibia's national telecom breach exposed nearly 500,000 records, a direct consequence of unpatched vulnerabilities. Despite having the most mature regulatory framework, including South Africa's Cybersecurity Act and Mauritius Digital Transformation Blueprint, the region's institution remains vulnerable to the speed and scale of AI-enabled attacks. The presence of scam centers in Zambia now pops up. Angola is also pops up in that. It's really. You have, what's that? Yeah. Zambia and, no, before we get to the call centers in Zambia, I want to emphasize something here. South Africa Cybersecurity Act, Mauritius Digital Transformation Blueprint. South Africa, the country that has recorded the highest number of attacks all across the board, has a cybersecurity legislation. In other words, we don't have one yet as a country, as Namibia. But this is why I pointed out earlier that even if we have one, the attacks are going to come, and prosecuting and tracing, arresting, and prosecuting is a whole different ballgame. So it's just important for me, if you ask me, it's just important to launch campaigns to make people aware how to protect themselves. Because the legislations are not going to do as much as we think they're going to. If the people are not aware, again, what social engineering is, legislations are not going to do crap. Because South Africa has them, and they have the highest cyber criminal attacks. Throw Angola in there when it comes to AI-generated emails of companies. Now, the presence of scam centers in Zambia and the prevalence of sextortion with potential deepfake usage based on trend AI data originating from South Africa underscores a troubling trend. Advanced infrastructure. Coexists with systemic exploitation. In other words, the more digital infrastructure you set up, and we're doing great in that department. Just in the beginning of this year, the Minister of ICT inaugurated, I think, several of them in Opuwo, in the Gonena region. And we all celebrated. Excellent idea. We are pulling our socks in the digital transformation. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Except we have to be aware of what's coming with internet connectivity on a national level. We have to understand that digital connectivity means getting into a world where things are going to be stolen if we are not careful. If we click yes at everything, if we click every link and every picture that pops up on our computer, it's about to get very interesting, is all I'm going to say. Very interesting. Now, the region's challenges is not lack of policy, but gaps in implementation, particularly in cross-border coordination and real-time threat intelligence sharing between let's just go with the security cluster all across the continent, coordinating with mostly financial institutions and all other companies to make sure that your information is safe. Now, this is very important. This is very important. We're talking about data interoperability on a very grand scale here. So that when someone gets scammed, the police are aware what's going on. They don't have to be updated because they are in constant communication with your financial institutions and the telecommunications that gave you the SIM card that you got scammed through. And it's not their fault. It's your fault for allowing someone to download AnyDesk on your computer without first finding out what even AnyDesk means. So, this is data interoperability on a very large scale. We are talking about the infrastructure development, again, on a very large scale. We are talking about digitization that will allow the interoperability on a large scale. You know what that means? Also, the thieves. I have my front teeth, believe me. Also, the thieves. When you scale the physical infrastructure to give your financial institutions in your security clusters that interoperability ability to coordinate to combat cyber crime, that physical and digital infrastructure advancement that will enable the police and financial institution and all your public and private institutions whose services you use, they will need the advanced digital infrastructure and physical infrastructure for them to communicate in a very interoperable way at a very fast rate, at a very high speed. And the irony is, that is the very same infrastructure, both digitally and physically, that will allow the thieves to also work at a very fast pace. It's like saying, you know what? Thieves are getting away because they are driving very fast cars. How about we just get rid of all the slow cars and make fast cars for everyone? Well, guess what? Thieves will also buy the very same fast cars that the police are buying to try and catch the thieves. You see the irony here. Let's develop the telecommunications infrastructure, both physical and digital, to enable telecommunications company and telecommunications companies to communicate with the financial institutions mostly and the and the security cluster across the continent to combat cyber criminals. Really? I thought at the beginning of the report you said that the more advanced the tech infrastructure in a region, the more higher the cyber criminal activities were recorded. And the solution to that, believe it or not, is let's advance more to stop the come on. The irony, I mean, look, I'm a comedian and even I would not have written that. It's just hilarious on the other, whole another level. It's like me being caught cheating and then figured out, I think the solution to this is, how about, let's think, how about more cheating? I'm not saying let's go back to Stone Age. I'm just saying, it's ironic. That's all. It is ironic. Really? This region of Africa that has very advanced digital and physical infrastructure, tech infrastructure basically. This East and Southern Africa has very good tech infrastructure. And because of that, they get attacked more than countries that don't have their level of tech infrastructure. How do we solve this problem? Let's advance the infrastructure more. What? I'm going to stick with my own solution here. You don't have to agree with it. We live in a free country and we also have free will if you look at it from a religious standpoint. Here's the thing. We have got to give people a computer literacy beyond right click and left click. Because the technology that we are using on, the knowledge of right click and left click and copy and paste, the technology is advancing that I don't think we are left with a lot of options but to just get off the couch of binge watching all these TV shows and, know our computers and smartphones beyond right click, copy and paste. Because, whether you like it or not, the thieves are using all the free knowledge that is all over the internet. To educate themselves, they're acquiring knowledge that is put out there for education purposes to help people understand how the world of cybersecurity works. And you know what? A lot of people get this free education, get smart on how the cybersecurity works, on how communicate over a network, and how they are connected, and how they exchange information, and what are the flaws in this exchange, and they are using those flaws to steal information and extort money out of you and a bunch of companies, poor companies, they are able to go through. And there are two solutions that are proposed, which I'm with them. Let's write the legislations. If legislations prevented cyber criminal activities, it wouldn't be happening in South Africa because South Africa has cybersecurity legislations and they are at the top of the chart of attacks by cyber criminals. So legislations clearly is not the silver bullet you all think it is. Again, we don't have one here in Namibia. And I'm looking at the South African template and I can't help but argue that, if the South African cybersecurity legislation is not working, I hardly think that ours will work in a way that we think it's going to work in terms of solving the problems of cybersecurity, of cyber criminal activities. Like your ransomware, your BEC, your sextortion, etc. Because it won't. It won't. We'll know to. Don't be a yes machine. Simple problem. I mean, well, very simple, at least simple solution. So, legislation's not going to cut it. How about let's just build more advanced digital and physical infrastructure or tech infrastructure to enable a lot of companies like, you know, like security, like, you know, a lot of institutions like your security cluster to coordinate effectively and crack down on this. Well, if you advance, again, for the millionth time, you said a lot of countries on the African continent that are getting attacked has a better digital, has a better tech infrastructure. And your solution is, let's advance the infrastructure more so we can fight the crime more. Right? It's like Namibian police saying, you know what? The only way to fight all this house breaking is once we catch these thieves, let's give them a bunch of hammers, lock picking tools, and a bunch of pliers so they can break much easier. Yeah, that's exactly what they're gonna do. It's, again, it's the irony. It's just the irony. Oh. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Oh, Bobo.
Good afternoon.
How do you put it now?
Oh, good, yeah.
Oh, good day. You're there for work.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me jump in.
Yeah.
So I, like ordinary people like us and many other people.
Wahala, no day.
I was listening to the Madranga, Justice Madranga.
Yeah.
And when he was now talking about issues of that, you know, about the Bill of Rights. And then he was now talking about the issue of, and in fact, he said that the law and society and how the vulnerable people can be perhaps protected from some of those instruments. And now I'm looking at when you were talking about, since they are still formulating up our cybersecurity policy.
Yeah.
And at the current situation, how safe are you in terms of attack? Is it not just because perhaps the grace of God that is there?
I think right now, even when the cybersecurity bill here in Namibia comes out, the attacks will continue to happen. They won't stop because if legislations stopped cybersecurity attacks, they wouldn't be happening in South Africa and Mauritius because they already have these legislations. Now, I think the main responsibility for me comes down to you and I, the end user. Especially those of us that are constantly on the internet, every time that we receive a call of someone claiming to be calling from a company, just tell them you will call them back. Exactly. I've been called by a bunch of people pretending to be calling from any company, and they all speak. I have a feeling it's private school that are producing scammers because their English is very good, and one thing that you pick from that is, at the end of the day, yes, I know we don't have a cybersecurity bill, access to information and all that is, but especially in relation to today's subject is cybersecurity bill. All I'm seeing, especially after looking at the report and the template coming out of South Africa and Mauritius is that, a cybersecurity bill is not going to prevent people from scamming. They will continue scamming. So at the end of the day, you and I will still have to be aware of, we'll have to come up with some verification process if someone calls me claiming to be from Eagle FM, how do I verify that this is actually Helmut calling from Eagle FM?
Especially the trust that we have in Eagle FM.
Yeah.
You think, thank God. Now I have not been listening to the radio. I've been searching for these things. It can really happen.
Yeah, meanwhile, so, Natif.
Like I said, it's only the grace of God that can really sustain us. And by creating awareness like what you are doing,
yeah,
I believe it can also help us in a way to pick up some knowledge and information.
Yeah.
That can at least prevent us. I mean, help us to. So South Africa, my friend, and Mauritius, the other country that you are talking about,
yeah,
with all these robust laws and, you know, registration. All right, Namibia, we can only pray for the grace of God to
yeah.
And for the chief not to touch us. You know, sometimes God can also neutralize their strategy when they are planning there and the prayers are going there. Their strategy can be paralyzed.
Those guys have one motto. They use spirit, no surrender. They will just keep calling. So I think this is basically a personal strategy that I use. And I'm sure, I mean, each and every one of us can basically come up with, with different ways of verifying. Like if anyone called me from the, called me from the bank, I'll just tell them I'll call you back, and I have the bank, I have the details, the numbers of the financial institutions that I use. I'll just call them. I don't care if I have to hold for an hour. I'll just call them and give them that, because when someone calls me and tells me I'm calling from this and this and this bank and I want this and this information from you, I want to know what is your name, which branch you are calling from, and I will call you back.
Yes.
And, I swear, I'm going to call the bank and tell them, someone called and most of these guys have their, their branch number, branch code and branch, phone number on their website. I'll just get that information and get the phone number of that specific branch someone is claiming to be calling from. Call that branch and tell them, this person, and more often you'll realize that, we don't even have an employee with that name.
You see? We don't even have an employee with that name.
Commercial break.
Need some help with the groceries this month? Then YouSave has a competition that is just for you. Every Friday between 1 and 2 p.m., Eagle FM will be giving away a $500 YouSave voucher. To stand a chance of winning the $500 YouSave voucher, all you have to do is follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and be on the lookout for the weekly competition question. YouSave, where good food costs less.
You save where good food costs less. If you don't get scammed of your money, then you just save your money. Don't get scammed so that you can buy good food where it costs less. That is it. You save. TK?
Yeah, just concluding, my brother, that yes, it's good to create more awareness, critical one.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, yes, so those personal strategies, I hope they will help us as well.
Yeah.
But then, because sometimes we are so desperate.
Yeah.
Again, when they tell you you are the one receiving the money, they ask you again, take the money.
No, desperation is what they are counting on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much, my son.
All right, no problem.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for coming. All right, we are 14 minutes left to the hour of 7. We're still on cybersecurity. One of the and that's the report, not me. One of the most significant incident occurred in December 2024 when Namibia's national telecommunications provider suffered a breach exposing 500,000 personal and financial records. The breach was not attributed to a sophisticated attack, but rather an unsecured administrative portal left accessible to the public internet. That's a terrible idea. That is just terrible, very amateur, and a terrible idea for an institution of that caliber. Now, the consequences were immediate. Stolen identities could potentially be sold on the dark web, used to open fraudulent mobile money accounts, and deployed in BEC, those fake AI generated email addresses of certain companies. BEC campaigns targeting government procurement departments. And in Seychelles, a central bank customer database was reportedly held for ransom, with attackers demanding payment in cryptocurrency to prevent public disclosure. In Tanzania, a government-linked social media account were compromised during a pre-election period, leading to a coordinated disinformation campaign and attempts to disrupt digital civic engagement. Somalia's e-visa platform also experienced a confirmed breach, underscoring a vulnerability of even nascent digital services. Jesus, the dark web became primarily a marketplace, and it's a nice place if you're just reading WikiLeaks, which I do a lot. It's a nice place if you're just looking at, if you are not clicking everything that you see, because that's how you get into trips. Now, the dark web became a primary marketplace for stolen African origin data. Yeah. The strategic application is clear. Data breaches are not a technical failure. They are a corporate governance failure. Until data protection is treated as a national security imperative with enforceability standards, independent oversight, and mandatory reporting, every digital service in Africa will remain a potential entry point for criminal exploitation. That's a whole list of countries. And now, if you were thinking it was just a Telecom Namibia that got attacked, no. A whole central bank in Seychelles. Their central bank, think Bank of Namibia, being told, well, we have all this very, that your important information. Yeah, we have it all. And you won't be able to access it. In other words, you won't be able to work. So you will have to send us this amount of money in cryptocurrency, and then we'll send you the password for you to have access to your own information. That was the Central Bank of Seychelles. You think Telecom Namibia had it bad? Seychelles had it worse. Tanzania, it was an election issue. Somalia's e-visa, we have one here, by the way. So, Minister of Home Affairs, I hope you all are listening. Somalia's e-visa got hijacked. Yeah. It is fascinating. Really fascinating. Moment.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ripura nengelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala konongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nuneudo otukwetira o special ange sashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendise nawa nokumona oijemo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore satimwe bali heari nola natu heari bali no heari ile konderewa Hora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Ningu kwa tathane kwa Monica kwa Nora Hambondatu and what's that number? 083-288-400 kwa officer 083-288-401 kwa studio. Right, it's wrap-up time. It's a wrap-up time. Here's one thing to pick from this. Anything can be used for bad. AI is being used by you and I to generate our own memes. Others are using it for stealing. The very same way that my Excel, my favorite example, has always been the knife. Put a knife in the hands of a chef, you're going to have a meal. As long as you don't piss the chef off, you're good. And you put that same knife in the hands of a serial killer, you have a body count. This is the traditional meaning of the word body count, not the 21st century meaning one. Y'all have just confused everything. Everything. Is there anything that we have not, dipped in debt? So, do we need legislations to combat cyber crime? Yeah, we do. But it's not a silver bullet. It is not. Still, personal awareness. What we need more is a campaign of letting people know that in the world of cybersecurity, there is such a thing as social engineering. And social engineering is the easiest way to get into your devices, to get whatever personal information. It's more often your money. And for a lot of companies, it's just you just take their information, lock it up, and tell them I will give you the PIN. I'll give you an encryption key if you give me this amount of money. You do realize they are not sending you an account number so you can send it, because that's traceable. Send it through cryptocurrency, and God knows how many servers it's going to bounce through. Which makes investigating not only difficult, but, it's going to take forever. That's just the investigation. When you now start talking about prosecution, jurisdiction comes in, and things goes political really fast. And when things go political, I don't think you're gonna, you'll just throw in a towel. You'll just be like, never mind. You're never gonna find these guys. Two ironies. The most attacked countries have a high level of tech infrastructure, have an advanced level in comparison to a lot of other African countries that were not equally attacked, at least not at the same rate. And our solution is let's expand that very same infrastructure that's being used to attack, so that we can allow telecommunications, financial institutions, and security clusters to coordinate more to fight this crime. That's a brilliant idea, but I'm just saying it's ironic, because the same infrastructure that you are going to expand is also going to give the cyber criminals an expansion, expanded operational space. and processing power to steal even faster. Look, I don't think we should worry a lot about the institutions, except, you know, what is just written in this report about telecom. Guys, this is embarrassing. Like, seriously. Like, I mean, if you have a bunch of networks with multiple ports open, eesh. That's not, like, they had to, you know, at least give them, you know, give them a hard time. Don't just leave the door open, which seems like what happened in this case. I hope there was a lesson learned there, especially for Telecom Namibia and the central, you know, the Central Bank of Seychelles. Jeez, that is something else. Your whole central bank being held hostage by a bunch of guys who are most likely halfway across the planet. And, eesh. Yeah. That happened to Seychelles. And it happened to Somalia. And Romance scammers, even from the last year's report that I went through, Zambia seems to have a thing for that. Now, the whole AI-generated sextortion material, that is new. I didn't see that in last year's report. The scamming, the whole sextortion. Now that one, I saw it in last year's report. And Angola were also, was very, okay, now, in last year's report, Angola was there were a lot of, scam centers. These guys were arrested with a lot of computer hardware, and we saw it. We saw the ones that were arrested here in Namibia. Was that back in 2024? These guys are found with an entire library of laptops. That's how they operate. The only difference between them and you and me is they know how that computer works beyond right click, copy and paste. And by the way, the lessons that can give you that level of knowledge is on the internet. And here is one, cherry on top of the cake, of the whole cake. It's free. I'm not saying become Edward Snowden. I'm not saying become Julian Assange. Interesting thing is, both these idiots, I think, dropped out of school. But just understand how a computer works beyond right click and Netflix, for the love of God.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
And we are 7 minutes on the 7 o'clock on the dot. It's 7 o'clock on the dot, not 7 minutes. It's 7 o'clock on the dot. That brings us to the end of today's Home Run. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, with yours truly, Helmed, here on Eagle FM. Stay tuned for the next program. And stay safe out there, especially online. If a smoking hot chick have never hit on you in real life, it's not going to happen on the internet. That's how you know it's a scam. Y'all have a good evening. Ladies, same goes for you. Same goes you. One thing we've learned from the Epstein file is that millionaires and billionaires, rich guys, and disgustingly, they like children. So I don't think you stand a chance. Until tomorrow, you'll have a good one.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.